about so easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Wow. Cool. Oh, that's sweet. Pretty cool. This is very dope to come back to this artistic vibe still going on. Wow.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I view the world through the eyes of a child. You know, I have the heart of a warrior and the spirit of a gypsy.
106.7 K-Rock. K-R-O-Q, and it's the Rodney and the Rock Show, as always, on Monday morning. Hey, I got a morning show. What can I say? Is that drive time?
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Why the f*** are you talking like you and The Wire?
I haven't seen The Wire.
What?
There's no good way to tell people you haven't seen The Wire.
And now...
people suck at your job, just to let you know.
Our feature presentation.
I love my brother hasn't gone away. I'm very happy with that. I hope that stays forever. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 20th of March.
Oh! Well, there he is! The man of the hour!
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of K-Rex Kevin. Come on.
Thank you.
Right?
Right.
Nice.
How are you?
I'm good.
How are you?
How you been? I've been good, Bean.
Did you miss, as I do when I'm on vacation, the sound of Rodney Bingenheimer's voice?
Well, when you played it just now, I realized.
You got so happy with it.
Yeah, I was very happy to hear it. Yeah.
I did the same thing.
Yep.
I'm like, aw, Rodney's still alive. Possibly.
Didn't think about it while I was gone, but when I heard it, yeah. I was very happy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. It's like a surprising meal that you've forgotten. I haven't had this in forever. I didn't realize how much I still love this.
Do you want Rodney in your mouth?
I'm not trying to make it a direct
surprising meal.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, you get something and then you realize as you're eating it, why don't I have this all the time? This is so good. I haven't eaten this since last year? I'm saying, you get excited because it's a thing that you love. And that's how I feel about the sound of Rodney's voice.
All right.
All right, so good start.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to start with this story. I know you guys know about it, but our audience may not because it involves a zoo and a raccoon and a lawsuit. And I can't wait to see how this one shakes out. It's a Russian zoo that is suing an advertising studio. They had gone, the advertising studio had gone to the zoo and said, hey, can we, we're doing a TV commercial. Can we borrow a raccoon for our ad? And I didn't know that you could do that. I didn't know that they loaned out animals at the zoo, but apparently in Russia they do. So a fee was agreed upon and the raccoon went off to make a commercial. Well, the zoo is now upset because there's a topless model in the commercial. And here's what the article says. The frustrated animal has since become obsessed with human breasts, an official told the BBC, which is not ideal behavior for this little raccoon, Tomas, who works in a petting zoo. So the studio, the advertising studio, of course, says the suit is absurd. And they said, hey, don't look at us. Tomas had problems of his own when he turned up for work. He snatched the model's bra and nibbled on it. So there's...
it's time for the... yeah! Wheel of Animal Voices.
What? So it sounds like they're claiming that Tomas already had booby feelings before he showed up at this photo shoot, this commercial shoot. And the zoo is saying that wasn't the case at all. It was because of the time he spent on your set that he became obsessed with boobs, and now he's no good to us in the petting zoo. Russian media quoted a studio spokesperson that said the company had requested...
What a terrible experience that would be at the petting zoo.
Yes,
or.
The studio spokesperson said the company had requested a trained animal, but instead they got Tomas, who was young and ran off all the time. So Tomas is just trouble at work. Zoo officials say their theory is that treats were hidden on the topless model to keep Tomas interested. And that's what caused his breast obsession.
For it.
Right?
Yeah.
The studio insists that the ad is not erotic, as the zoo claims, as it was intended for a national TV campaign, which would not air a topless model, but it is not clear what is being advertised. I've seen, and I've done some research on this.
I'm sure you have.
And you do see Tomas cavorting with a topless model in a bed, a large unmade bed.
Oh, Tomas.
So the zoo was told that the commercial is being used to sell bed linens. But the question I have for you, and I don't know much about Russia, is does that make you want to buy bed linens if you see a commercial with a girl and a raccoon? It just seems weird.
Does the raccoon come with the bed cushions?
I don't think so. I don't think you get free raccoon with purchase or anything like that. No.
I don't think so.
Comes with free raccoon.
Yeah.
The zoo
free
calls,
horny raccoon.
The zoo calls it immoral to mix nature with eroticism. So I am very confused. And unfortunately, a lot of the places where this material is being hosted is in Russian. And my Russian is not what it once was during the Cold War when I was fluent.
Sure.
So I don't know what the real story is here. But what do you guys think is going on?
I don't know. Is it possible that a raccoon could be obsessed with a woman's breasts? Is that even a possibility?
I mean, I would think so, but I'm still confused as to why they would use a raccoon in a commercial like this.
Well, do you think it would sexually, though, or just as something there, like floppy little playthings?
I just can't imagine. I mean, maybe you're onto something, Kevin. Maybe we need to save this story for the Wheelo and talk to Tomas and maybe find out what happened. I think that's the only way to get inside this story.
I mean, it's tough to blame Tomas.
It is. Look at the situation they put him in.
He's doing the right thing.
They literally put him in a bed with a topless model.
Right.
What's he supposed to do? Mm. He's only a man.
He's a raccoon.
Well, he's a man raccoon. Okay.
With a raccoon boner.
Why'd you have to make it so graphic?
I mean, come on.
Seriously.
Just what?
We'll keep an eye on this one and let you know what shakes.
Just
what? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Done? Okay. We have tickets for Kevin and Bean's March Kapow Pow singles party.
That's how you do it, Bean.
Exactly how I did it.
That is not how you
100%.
Did it. No.
Oh,
he'd be like, March Chicka Bow Wow, and then move on.
How dare you.
Also, the opening act contest continues. Mm-hmm. Brand new internet roundup today. Mm-hmm. We have a feature called Tell Us About Your Kevin.
Yeah.
And I don't feel good about that one. I don't know what it is, and I don't like it already.
You should feel good about it. You should feel good about it.
Oh, it's going to make me feel good, is it?
Well, because you're the king of the Kevins.
Again, I'm not positive that that's something that I want. We do have your April Foolishness tickets. Today we're going to do it for – can we announce now or later? How we're going to do it? No, we'll do it later.
We'll discuss, yeah.
Plus, we will discuss the NCAA tournament. March Madness is going on, and we'll talk about that. And we have Harvey Levin from TMZ as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
By the way, in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll make that phone call to tell somebody that Panic at the Disco is coming over to their house to perform for them.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Which is great.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Right. Panic at the Disco at your house. Performing
yep.
live. Like, you don't even have to leave your house to see Panic at the Disco.
Right.
So that's
they're coming to your house.
They'll
exactly.
be like, haven't you people ever heard of closing the goddamn door? And they're like, come in.
I hope that's exactly how that goes down, Allie. So that'll be the grand prize drawing of last week's big deal. Listen to what's happening today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're giving away tickets to Coldplay at the Rose Bowl in October. And then you qualify for a European summer vacation with Coldplay. You pick the destination. So you can decide to see them in Italy or in England or in France or Germany or Belgium or Sweden or Ireland, anywhere that they're playing. How about that?
Where would you go, Bean?
I mean, look, there's a lot of great countries on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Belgium. I think that's the only place on this list I've never been to. So I might pick Belgium just so I could see that.
Wow.
Why is that a wow?
Just because who's been to that many countries?
Right.
Well, I'd
say Ireland.
Yeah, me too.
Ireland's great too. Yeah. So anyway, it's a pretty good deal. Something to think about. We'll give you a chance at 9 a.m. to win those Coldplay tickets and qualify for that great grand prize. It is 5:56 here on a Monday morning. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You guys, I've got some huge breaking news.
Okay.
Do you want to do a breaking news bulletin?
Yeah, I do. I need to get the thing here.
And now, a breaking news bulletin. Remember after the Super Bowl, Tom Brady's jersey went missing?
Yes.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Again, thank you. Well, it apparently has been found.
Yay!
Right, right. But it involves the FBI because it hasn't been found in this country.
the FBI.
It's outside the country?
Yes. So here's the deal. This is just breaking right now. And
it got stolen from the locker room after the game, right?
Right. And they thought, okay, did somebody from the equipment side grab it just to give it to him later? Where'd it go? Oh, my God, this is a problem. And then in Texas, it was going to be a felony because it was over a certain amount of money. It had all these different caveats to it.
Yeah,
but
death penalty.
Death penalty.
In Texas.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But the details are coming in now from Jay Glazer, but he's going to tell everyone on Fox Sports 1's Undisputed, which no one's going to watch because, really, no one watches that show ever. So we'll just kind of be monitoring this. But apparently somebody posing as international media stole it.
So, in other words, somebody who was in the locker room doing post-game interviews after the Super Bowl managed to walk off.
That's what it's looking like.
It wasn't a real media person? It was somebody who...
Somebody posing as international
faked his way into the locker room?
Listen, you're going to have to watch Undisputed, and I don't suggest it. Don't do it.
Tell us what's going on. Don't Rachel Maddow us here, Allie.
I'd love to. But, yeah, Jay Glazer is Rachel Maddowing
us
right now.
That's exactly what's happening.
But apparently this seems like it's actually real news, not his jersey in 2005.
What do you think they could get for this? I mean, is it worth that?
Do you think someone in Spain is like, listen, I've got Tom Brady's jersey. And people are like, ooh.
Right.
Ah. No.
That's a weird thing.
I was trying to think of some Spanish. Didn't come to me. So I just went with, ooh, ah. Impressive. Hey, speaking of impressive... The weekend box office. Obviously, everyone knew Beauty and the Beast was going to do gangbusters, but I don't think they expected this. They thought somewhere around 130 to 150. Kevin, what do you think the pull for Beauty and the Beast was?
130 to 150 is ridiculous.
Insane, right?
That's a ridiculous guess.
You only see that a couple of times a year.
But I'm guessing it's higher, so I'm going to say 170.
Kevin, 170.
Yeah!
It's true. $170 million. Yeah, it was a success in North America and $350 million globally.
Wow.
First weekend, you guys. It also broke some other records. It was the top domestic opening of all time for a PG-rated film and the number 7 launch of all time for any movie. And this was interesting to me, but I guess expected. It was the biggest debut of all time for a female-fueled film. And on Friday, more than 70% of ticket buyers were female.
Hmm. That may explain why I have no interest whatsoever in seeing this movie.
Are you sure it isn't just because of love? And when you had that relationship with that hairy beast?
Right.
It brings up bad memories.
He doesn't want to feel that again.
It's hard.
It's
hard.
Very difficult,
yeah,
yes.
Plus, the bad man is in it, too, so I don't want to support him.
Oh, Josh Gad is amazing. Right? He's a wonderful man. All right, so that was number one. Coming in second, Kong Skull Island at $28.9 million, which for its second week is great.
I saw
but
that
after 170,
this weekend. It was really great.
Yeah.
You guys need a review?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
It was well done.
Thank you, Kevin.
Back to you.
Illuminating. Thank you.
You
Logan.
Had John C. Reilly on the program.
Oh, he stole it.
That's what everybody's
what
saying.
Heard.
He
says he's amazing.
So good.
I love it. Logan came in third. Get Out came in fourth, which is nice for its fourth weekend, making another $13.2 million. Coming in fifth, the Jesus movie, The Shack. Sixth, the Lego Batman movie. Seventh, the Belko Experiment at $4.1 million. What did James Gunn say? If it makes over five?
Yeah, that he's golden. It would have made more than its money back, yeah.
So I think he's on the right track with that. Hidden Figures.
What a great guy he is.
Oh, man. Kevin, you miss some good people.
Okay.
I mean, sure, you're on vacation, so that's cool, too, but...
No, I mean, I don't want to miss cool people, but I can't be here all the time.
I don't know what you said to Ryan Getzlaff to have him not call, but...
Oh, that happened?
Yeah, it was kind of awesome. Just didn't call.
Fortunate.
No big whoop. Hidden Figures came in at 8th, John Wick Chapter 2 at 9th, and rounding out the top 10, Before I Fall with $1 million in its third week. Let's talk about some birthdays. Spike Lee is 60, actress Holly Hunter is 59, the wrestler Sting is 58, Chester Bennington from Linkin Park is 41, and actress Ruby Rose is 31. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is Kevin and Bean Show at 6:06.
What are you guys laughing at?
Nothing.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Good Lord.
Did he almost miss the end of that one?
No. it was just his question beforehand, and then
it would have been a moment with easily.
Good. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. He is back. Hey, our friend Matt Money Smith talks March Madness next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brand new internet roundup as well. We got more tickets for the Kevin and Bean Singles Party and April Foolishness too. So a lot of good stuff coming up. I don't know how this has happened again, but remember about, what was it, about 6 weeks ago or so, Kyrie Irving was doing that interview, maybe not quite that long ago. He's a Cleveland Cavaliers player, and he was talking about, and he seemed to be serious about it, that he believed that the earth was flat.
Mm-hmm.
And you laugh at him, and you should, because it's dumb. Soon after, Wilson Chandler from the Denver Nuggets came out and said he agrees. Then Draymond Green from the Warriors came out and said, yeah, of course the earth is flat. Now, as of this weekend, former NBA star Shaquille O'Neal says he thinks the earth is flat.
That's so stupid.
What?
Is it just the NBA?
Yes. So far, it's something about playing basketball makes you dumb. I don't know. How? Look. There are lots of conspiracies. I mean, we work with a conspiracy theorist on this program.
Right.
We know how easy it is to feel that you're being manipulated to and to feel that people are hiding the truth and there's a big cover-up. And I get all that. Look at – Allie, what's going on with your boy Justin Bieber right now, for instance, while we're talking about conspiracies?
Well, he's shape-shifting into a lizard. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that. All right.
We can all agree on that one fact.
That we can.
This weekend, the other big conspiracy theory that was all over the right-wing internet is that President Obama was involved in a secret meeting in Hawaii with the judge who halted the President Trump travel ban because President Obama was in Hawaii. Why? Because he was there pulling strings on the cabal that's running the secret government. So that conspiracy theory is out there. That one and the Bieber one are both more believable than the flat Earth one, though.
Well, it does seem like science solved this a long time ago.
Like, how is it even possible that anyone alive today has not seen photos of the Earth from space?
You don't think that Shaq is just having a go here? Because it seems like so something he'd do. He's a joker. He likes to do this.
It does seem like he's just trolling.
Yeah.
Because he's the type of person who would do that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the tape then, and we can decide, because obviously that is a possibility, and I have not ruled that out as well. He does a podcast with a broadcaster in Atlanta named John Kincaid, and that's where the topic came up this weekend.
What did you make of the Kyrie stuff?
It's true. The earth is flat.
Shaq, what are you talking about?
The earth is flat.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is.
No.
Listen.
It's not.
There's three ways to manipulate the mind. What you read, what you see, and what you hear.
Okay. Conspiracies.
In school, first thing they teach us is, Columbus discovered America. But when he got there, it was some fair-skinned people with the long hair smoking out of peace pipes. So what does that tell you? Mm-hmm. Columbus didn't discover America.
He found where some other people already lived.
So just because one thing is incorrectly taught in history doesn't mean everything is. Doesn't mean because one thing didn't pan out the way you learned it, doesn't mean that everything is false, right?
At first it sounded like he was kidding, but he went right into his facts.
He's building a case.
Yeah.
And I listened to that tape a couple different times because you hear that person laugh. That's not Shaq who's laughing. It's not like he's saying the earth is flat with a laugh in his voice. That's somebody else who's in the room. Shaq so far still serious, and he continues.
I drive from coast to coast, and the it's flat to me. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
I drive from Florida.
It's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
I drive from Florida to California all the time, and it's 92. Flat to me.
Okay, now a lot of people have said, Kyrie Irving said the same thing, by the way. He said, you ought to be able to see the curve of the earth if you're looking at enough distance. If you're far enough away from a place, you ought to be able to see the curve of the earth. And Shaq wants to know why you get on a road and it appears flat all the way coast to coast when you're driving.
I love that the radio host called him out and said that's the dumbest thing you've ever said to Shaq.
Because he said some dumb stuff.
He really has.
Yeah.
By the way, this might be an outstanding time to mention, in case you're not aware, is that Shaquille O'Neal has a doctorate in education.
Okay.
An honorary.
No.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Honorary.
Yes.
Like went
not
to school,
honorary.
Sat in class, earned it?
After he retired from the NBA, he took courses. Many of them were online, by the way.
Ah.
But it was an accredited school where he had to.
We were ministers, too, B. We were able to marry people for a dollar.
Look, I'm just telling you, he has a doctorate degree in education, the man who is now telling us that the earth is flat.
So and you're just, saying...
It's science.
I'm just having trouble reconciling those two. Let's hear some more from Shaquille O'Neal.
92 not, podcasts, and that's the dumbest thing you've ever said. That's a high bar to get over.
I do not go up and down in a 360-degree angle and all that stuff about gravity. Have you looked outside of Atlanta lately and seen all these buildings? So you mean to tell me that China is under us?
Okay, so...
What?
He's very confused because you look outside. He's in Atlanta. He's looking outside at Atlanta, and he's thinking in his mind... Wait a minute. The other side of the earth from where we are in America is China. So that means all of those buildings that are on the ground in China are upside down. Okay?
Okay.
And he doubts that gravity could hold everything together like that. In his mind, he can't figure it out.
I'm listening.
That's part of what it's starting to make sense.
I'm coming down on the side of Shaq.
China's under us.
If you keep saying they are under us.
That's what they tell you when you're a kid.
The world is flat.
If you dug straight through your backyard, you could get to China.
No, you can't.
The world is not flat.
Yes, it is.
We've seen the earth.
No, we haven't seen anything.
Yes, you have. You've seen it from satellite imagery.
Oh, satellite imagery that could be drawn and made up.
Okay, so here's the audio of the reporter asking Kyrie that exact same question.
All right, do you want to hear some more of Kyrie?
Yes.
Kyrie's saying the same thing. Look, we can't trust any photos, which, by the way, is true for the last 30 years. But all the photos that were taken before that, before we all were photoshopping and manipulating everything, I think it's reasonable to assume that those pictures were real, right?
Sure, yes.
Seen pictures of the planet, though, right? Like it's a circle. So
I've seen a lot of things that my educational system has said that was real and turned out to be perfectly fake. I don't mind going to Instagram in terms of my thoughts.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I'm with him because we're from Jersey. And that's how we think.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Shaquille O'Neal, add him to the list of the NBAers who say that the earth is flat.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Monday morning about this time, every week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. He's a lawyer, you know, and probably the next Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, if I have my way. How are you, Harvey?
Wow.
I don't know.
That would actually be a promotion from TMZ.
I don't know. So. Harvey does good work this way, too. Maybe he's the new Sean Spicer.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have no problem getting confirmed, right?
Does that seem like the hardest job in the world being Sean Spicer, by the way, Harvey?
Yes. You could not pay me enough money.
Yeah. The hardest job in the world. Look, it's a
could
difficult
not
job.
Pay under
the...
me enough money. Warren Buffett could come by and say, you know that thing I was going to do with the brackets if somebody got them all right?
Right.
Uh-huh. I'll do it with you if you take that job for 6 months. No, Warren.
Well, you're a wise man, Harvey. Speaking of the president, you got a couple of things up at TMZ.com that are very, very interesting, including this laptop that was stolen. Now, I already learned details this morning that I had not seen on the other news sites. Why don't you fill us in on what we know about this thing?
Well, we know there's a lot of stuff, and it's really troubling. We'll start with the laptop, but I do want to talk about that guy who was on the White House grounds undetected.
Right, yeah.
The laptop. Well, first of all, the agent had the laptop in her car in the middle of the night.
That's the thing that blew my mind.
Now, wait a minute.
How do you leave that in your car?
Now, wait a minute. In the driveway inside the gates?
No.
At her home.
Just her driveway.
At her home.
Yes, at her home.
Okay.
And now here's what we know, that there is surveillance video from neighbors, and you see what happens. And we are told that the guy who did this showed up in an Uber, made a beeline for the car, took the laptop, and left. So he knew what he was after.
All right, let me stop you right there, because that's the other crazy part of this story. Who goes out to commit espionage in an Uber?
I know. Guy that doesn't have a car, Bean.
Isn't the Uber driver now don't you have to kill him because he knows too much?
Oh, there's no way to fake an Uber account?
It is a bizarre story, but listen, I'm just telling you that's what we're being told by people who are involved in all of
this. What was on the laptop?
Now, the laptop was encoded, and, you know, it did apparently have plans for Trump Tower, but those plans are public record anyway. The Department of Buildings has it down there. So, you know, it's not so much that it got compromised. It's just another example of a lapse with the Secret Service. But the big thing is a week ago Friday, when this guy jumped two fences, and we are told, the Secret Service said 16 minutes. We're told it was closer to 20 minutes that he was on the property, on the grounds of the White House. This is about 11 o'clock at night, undetected. He got up to the White House and was jiggling the doorknob.
Harvey, I have always assumed...
Jiggling the doorknob.
Jiggling the doorknob.
Jiggling the doorknob.
And that's not a euphemism, right? We're all talking about actually
insane.
Jiggling a doorknob.
I've always assumed, morning or night, if I try to jump that fence, sharpshooter, and I don't, and I fall on the inside or on the outside, but I'm dead. Yeah. That, I always assume that.
Like there's a guy on the roof,
course,
yes.
Right? Of course you do. And
how did this happen?
Well, listen to this. It gets worse. It gets worse. Not only did he jump two fences, here's the thing.
He jiggled the back doorknob.
That is code.
Now, that is code, right. He did this at 11 o'clock at night. At 6 in the evening, here's what we're told. At 6 in the evening, this guy showed up for the first time, went up to the Secret Service and said, I want on the White House grounds. I want to get in the White House. And they turned him away. But they looked at him, they eyeballed him, and they knew that this guy was crazy and wanted to get on the property. He came back, and this was not like with, you know, 1,000 school kids standing in front of the White House where you just kind of get lost in the crowd. This was 11 o'clock at night on a cold evening, so there weren't that many people there. And he shows up, and they don't eyeball him, they don't catch it. And somebody I talked to who's familiar with this investigation said that they believe that he had come back and forth between 6 and 11. So this guy is scoping out the White House, going back and forth after going up to the Secret Service and saying, I went on the property, and he still managed to get on, jump two fences, on there almost 20 minutes, and got right up to the building.
Right, don't they have motion sensors? Or I mean, how does he stay on the grounds?
The Secret Service detected the motion and thought it was an animal.
Hmm. They need a neighborhood watch program or something in that neighborhood, don't they?
I always thought it is crazy. I always thought the Secret Service was the top of the top, and they make no mistakes. And that's just not the case.
No, and remember, Trump was there. He was in the White House when that happened. So,
it wasn't this weekend when he was golfing again?
No. That one was a week ago Friday. Oh. He was in the White House. Okay. No, there were a couple of things this weekend, too, but... he was in the White House when all of this was going
this
on.
This is what crazy.
It is crazy. And I wonder what the problem is with the Secret Service because, you know, this is not just a problem that's exclusive to Mr. Trump's administration. This happened more than one time with President Obama as well. People hop in the fence. I mean...
That's right. Now, I can make... It gets one more notch worse.
All right.
They didn't tell Trump immediately. And if you notice, on Saturday, Trump actually said, good job, Secret Service. He had no idea that this happened. He had no idea that this was a major screw-up. They were just, oh, well, we caught this guy.
Don't you think he should be in the loop for things like this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What the heck is happening?
But I also feel like the Secret Service, if they make that big a mistake, I mean, they probably put their heads together and go, look,
don't tell the boss.
Don't tell Dad.
We can't tell anyone. We can't tell anyone because we'll all be fired.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, that is...
Well, there's going to be a lot of stuff this week.
And they're raising the fence, right, Harvey? Aren't they going to raise the fence like another 5 or 6 feet?
They're talking about raising it 5 feet. But, you know, the Secret Service is also saying we're understaffed. We need more technology. You would just think that at the White House...
Right.
You know, they may need technology in other places and don't have it. But you would think White House would be state of the art.
Why don't they just electrify the fence?
Well,
honestly,
what, 9 dead today? You can't do that.
I like the way Kevin thinks.
Feet, maybe?
I mean, thin the herd. Yep, there you go. Kevin solved another problem.
All right, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Look for TMZ on Fox throughout the day. TMZ Live is the one you don't want to miss at 4 p.m. TNC Sports, of course, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Great chat, Harvey. We'll do it again next time. Have a good week.
Okay,
thank
guys.
You. Saturday, April 1st at the Shrine Auditorium is going to be this year's Kevin Amin April Foolishness. We are minutes away from giving you your tickets to join us that night for Bill Burr and Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson. It's going to be a great, great night. Tickets on sale now through Axis.com. We'll tell you how to call and win in minutes. I was alerted last week, Kevin, and I saved this until you got back from vacation.
Great.
There is a new thread on Reddit that I think you will be interested in, and it is called, What's Your Kevin Like?
I don't know that I approve.
I'm starting to see a trend among people named Kevin. And it was a little bit of a surprise to me. I kind of thought you were a little bit of an outlier. But apparently many people have a Kevin in their life. Apparently we are not the only ones, you guys.
Here's what I know. I do know that in media, in TV shows and movies, if there's a character named Kevin, mm-hmm. he's the idiot. The Office, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
really, he's the idiot. That's how it happens.
Now, the one exception that comes to mind, though, is the Home Alone kid was the smartest guy in the room, right?
Sure.
He was a Kevin.
Yeah,
so you got him on your side,
got
right?
That.
Kevin Bacon was on The Tonight Show one time, and he brought this up. And I think we've played this before, but it's worth revisiting.
I don't like the name Kevin.
You don't like it?
Kevin, to me, it's just never sounded right. Like, it's like, and they've done studies that teachers... are predisposed to not like Kevins.
Really?
Yeah, because no, it's true. Because they tend to be troublemakers.
Yeah.
And in certain cultures, I think it's someplace in the UK to call somebody a Kevin is an insult. You know, he's a Kevin. You know, it's like. And if you look at movies, a lot of times they'll take the a-hole and they'll name him Kevin. It's just
Now, so just like you're saying, you've read it that all the time.
Why are they the troublemakers? Like, does it? How does that make sense?
I don't know.
Any name leads in the list of troublemakers.
I don't know. There was another article recently about how Kevin is an insult in France as well. For whatever reason, Kevin, because it seems
I don't like France either. How about that?
Seems like a perfectly reasonable name. So anyway, what's your Kevin like? I thought it might be fun to take a look at this Reddit thread and see some of the see some of the stories and see if maybe this sounds like our Kevin. If invited over, Kevin shows up 3 to 4 hours after the time you specify. We tell Kevin a much earlier time than everyone else to compensate. Yeah, how often have we done that, Allie, when we've had public appearances?
Not all.
Yeah. After we've arrived, he'll announce he'll have to run to the store real quick. Make yourselves at home. No problem. One time he came back 3 hours later with no dinner. That's there, Kevin.
Kevin, I'm going to ding everyone that is true of me as well.
Okay, good. My Kevin accidentally made a concussion grenade out of a disposable water bottle and a can of compressed air.
Close enough.
Do I ring the bell if I'm going to?
Basically, he sprayed some of the can of keyboard cleaner into an empty water bottle while the can was upside down, causing some of the pressurized liquid to come out. The liquid then expanded to the point of the bottle exploding like a grenade. It didn't help that Kevin had also put it in a sink of hot water that made it both expand faster and got water everywhere.
I'm so disappointed in myself that I haven't done that.
He deafened everyone in the room for a solid minute. All right, here's my favorite. My Kevin is like Napoleon Dynamite mixed with a lamp. He has this dog. It's very unfortunate. It's a small, runty little thing, and it has the tendency to run into the path of moving vehicles. Kevin by no means intends to run over his dog so many times, but the dog just does not seem to understand the concept of physics when Kevin is driving in a car and ATV. So far, the dog has run into the path of his car multiple times, the lawnmower a few times, the local garbage truck, and the aforementioned ATV on multiple occasions. The dog is perfectly healthy despite all these impacts. The dynamite... Lamp hybrid Kevin, who owns the dog, named the dog after himself. So there's
the
problem.
I was going to say the dog is Kevin.
The dog is a Kevin. My Kevin went away to summer camp for 2 weeks, returned unshowered, complete with dead bugs in his hair.
Oh.
This then resulted in an unfortunate buzz cut for the next 2 years of his life. That's his Kevin.
All right, let me ask.
Thank you, Chip. I don't think you're left.
Let me ask you a question. Could you find these types of stories about any name? Or is it all really?
I think
Kevin.
Maybe it's just mostly Kevin.
I think it's mostly Kevin. Yeah. Last time we were at a party at our house at around 1 a.m., there was a blood-curdling scream in my roommate's bedroom. Everyone stopped what they were doing to go see what would happen. In the room was Kevin, pants around his ankles, and the fattest girl at the party with a 1,000-yard stare and vomit everywhere.
Oh.
He was mid-sex when he realized he was going to throw up, but he tried to hold it and wound up destroying my roommate's mattress, sheets, curtains, and chair and giving that poor girl PTSD.
Aww.
That's an unfortunate party. My Kevin likes to eat other people's food at work. Kevin is not liked by many of his peers. Some Kevins just want to watch the world burn. My Kevin is my uncle. He bought 8 Christmas trees just because they were so cheap.
That's not me. Thank you.
A couple more. Oh, my favorite. I worked for a Kevin who I sued for sexual harassment and work hour issues. He was the worst I ever encountered. He's the Kevin to whom I hold all Kevins against. So I assume if your name is Kevin, you're pretty terrible. Sorry. P.S. I also have a cousin, Kevin, who's in prison for attempted manslaughter.
Oh, my.
All right. That seems like that's not our Kevin. That's
not
definitely
me.
Not our Kevin. My Kevin once mooned a lady in Winn-Dixie. My Kevin used to wear Furby underwear. My Kevin goes to a Mexican restaurant and orders the chicken strips and fries. Oh, here's one for you, Kevin. Dude, the Kevin I know is lit as F. He's super chill. No one hates him. Kevin is an effing G, this guy says.
What?
Whoa!
Chip, stop! Chip, change it to a buzz.
This is really more our Kevin. My Kevin puts his phone right up to his butt and Snapchats me his farts almost every morning. That is definitely our Kevin. And here's one more. My Kevin worked the closing shift at a liquor store. After the day was done, he had to mop the floors and go to the back to turn off all the lights. Except this was too difficult, and no matter how many switches he flipped, there was always at least one light left on. Finally, after weeks of this going on, Kevin left the wrong switch flipped on the nightly attempt, and the meat freezer was left turned off all night, leading to all the deli meat spoiling and needing to be thrown out. Eventually, the store owner just accepted that he would have to drive by after closing and turn off the lights himself because Kevin couldn't figure it out. Oh, that Kevin was me, is what this Reddit guy writes. Oh. So this is a Kevin turning himself in. So we could be doing a lot worse with our guy.
Right? That's my point.
Nice work, Kevin.
Seriously.
What?
Seriously, that's the way to wake up. That song right there. That's the way to wake up.
By the way, good news out of Muse's studio in London. They have finished three new songs already for the next record. So that's good news.
It's 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ, the Kevin and Bean Show, 656.
We promised you tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Let's deliver right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to be with us at the Shrine on April the 1st for that all-star lineup of comedy. This time around, we are looking for, sorry, Allie, blonde jokes.
I don't get it.
Blonde jokes.
Now, we should say up front, we hate jokes.
Yes.
Because
yes,
most of the time, they're not funny if they're told right. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, they're not told right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The good news about blonde jokes, though, is they're usually very short.
Right.
Why don't blondes talk during sex? Their moms taught them to never speak to strangers. I mean, boom, you're in, you're out, 3 seconds, you're done. That's what we're looking for. Your favorite blonde jokes. Three blondes walk into a building. You'd think at least one of them.
Sex with strangers.
Right. There you go. Allie just got it. Three blondes walk into a building. You'd think at least one of them would have seen it. Boom! That's how you tell a blonde joke. You just, boom! Right?
Do you have to end it with boom?
You don't. Although
I suggest yes.
I think it might be fun if they do. So what's your favorite blonde joke? Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Somebody's going to win tickets for April Foolishness, April 1st at the Shrine. If you don't win them, don't forget you can buy them at AXS.com. Speaking of blondes, Allie's in for Ralph. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Huge weekend at the box office for Beauty and the Beast. They pulled in $170 million in North America, $350 million globally. It's on.
This was a success.
Yes.
Wow.
On track to enter that $1 billion and above clubs, which is a nice place to be.
Yeah. There's popular movies, and then there are sensations like this one. What do you think is the appeal of this movie for so many people?
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter loves Harry Potter.
Uh-huh.
And so Emma Watson worships.
Okay. Yeah.
And so she's been looking forward to this movie for 4 months.
And I think so many people loved the animated version so much that they're going just to see what they did with this. But I'm telling you, when I saw the first trailer, I was like, I am in. It's just so beautifully done. It looks so good.
And how was it?
I didn't see it. So, I mean, I will.
So define in.
I am so in when that comes out on demand.
Plus, I mean, look, how long has Disney been making money off of girls and their prince, you know, their princess movies? You know, they know that there's a built-in audience for princess movies.
She's not a princess.
Oh, is she not? I thought she was.
Is she?
He's a prince. Is he a prince?
No.
Let's move on.
Is she a princess, though? I don't think she is.
He's a prince, though, right?
Who? The Beast?
So doesn't that make her a princess? Yes, isn't he a prince that is turned into some sort of monkey or something? And if he ends up with Belle, then she becomes a princess. I thought that was the whole point
of
this thing.
It?
I thought.
Wow. I don't think a monkey. I don't necessarily think monkey.
Whatever it is.
He turns into Kong.
Uh-huh.
And then she has to go to the island.
Which came in at number two, Kong Skull Island. I don't know. We'll look that up during the break. Coming in third, Logan, followed by Get Out, The Shack, The Lego Batman Movie. The Belko Experiment came in seventh with $4.1 million, followed by Hidden Figures, John Wick Chapter 2, and rounding out the top 10, Before I Fall. You guys, this is great news. Sesame Street is introducing a new Muppet next month.
Wow, that doesn't happen very often.
Very rarely. They are going to introduce Julia, and she's a Muppet character who has autism.
Yay!
Yay, Julia! She's already been featured in the Sesame Street world. She has been appearing online in a digital storybook tale. But she will be joining alongside characters Elmo and Abby, and she'll meet Big Bird. And the show is going to portray her meeting Big Bird and being hesitant to shake his hand. And then they're going to explain why Julia is a little bit hesitant to shake his hand. Kind of go into maybe some of the things that make up the spectrum of autism.
I like
so,
that.
Yeah, it's really good. They've been working with autism organizations to figure out the best way to portray Julia on screen.
Posse? And,
waka waka.
Okay. Happy too.
He's not on Sesame Street so much, but I'm glad he chimed in.
He's happy. He watches. He loves it.
Waka waka.
I'm just gonna wrap this up. You really thought you were really.
Come on, Allie, use your words.
All of these stars were born today, March the 20th. Director Spike Lee is 60. Wrestler Sting is 58. Linkin Park's Chester Bennington is 41. L.A. Clippers' Jamal Crawford is 37. Is he good?
Yeah.
Big player?
Yeah.
Okay. Actress Ruby Rose is 31. I'm Allie McCain for Ralph Garman, walking the show this beat.
Waka waka.
Hey, Allie.
Yeah?
Why'd the blonde get fired from the M&M factory?
Why?
She kept throwing out all the W's. Boom!
I'm not
sure the boom saved that one. That's how you tell a blonde joke, kids.
Right.
And we're taking your calls with that topic at 1-800-520-1067. We want to give you some tickets to join us April 1st at the Shrine Auditorium for this year's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. Proceeds, by the way, if you want to buy your tickets at AXS.com, go into the Fisher House and Cedar Side NICU. The game is called The Blonde Leading the Blonde.
Allie is so blonde. Win takes two April Foolishness.
Cisco forever.
I'm not sure about Cisco forever. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Your best blonde joke. Someone will win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Who's our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Leonard, in Ontario. Hi, Leonard.
Kevin is a little blonde today.
For some reason, I wanted to say Leonardo, and I'm not sure why.
Hey, Leonard, what's your joke?
What's your joke, Leonard?
Why can't blondes dial 911?
Why?
Because they can't find the 11.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
I like it. I like it. See, Allie, because they're looking for the number 11 on their phone.
Right.
You get it?
No.
All right, let's go to Rico in Carson.
Rico.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Rico.
Did you hear about that new color blonde?
No.
No.
Not very bright, but it spreads easy.
All right, Rico's in the drawing.
I like it.
Mark is up next. He's in Arcadia, line 3. Hey, Mark, what's your blonde joke?
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hi there.
I think it's Mayark.
Right?
What do you call 40 blondes in a freezer?
Wait, start again.
What do you call 40 blondes in a freezer?
40 blondes in a freezer.
Don't know. Don't know.
Frosted Flakes.
Okay.
I mean, do we have to put them on hold?
I mean, technically, they're all in the drawing if they tell
right,
a blonde
but that guy?
Technically.
Come on!
His delivery didn't help him.
It's terrible. Francisco in Fontana is next. Hi, Francisco.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Your blonde joke, please.
Three blondes are on their way to Disneyland. And they see a sign that said Disneyland left, so they went home.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
I like it. I'm not going to lie. I like that one.
All right. Let's go to Aaron in Buena Park. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi there. Tell us your blonde joke, please.
Sure. What's dumber than a brunette trying to build a house underwater?
We don't know.
A blonde trying to burn it down. Boom.
I mean, Aaron brought the boom.
He did bring the boom. That's how it's done, right?
Seriously, that joke was not quite that funny until the boom.
Yeah, the boom did it.
Definitely made it.
That was pretty sweet. All right.
If you're just joining us, we're taking the blonde jokes for tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, April 1st at the Shrine. Who's next, please?
Sean in Hemet. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there. Blonde joke, please.
How do you try to kill a fish? Or no.
Oh, Sean, take it slow.
All right.
How does a blonde try to kill a fish?
How does a blonde try to kill a fish?
She drowns it.
Tell us your joke about
blonde, 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 blonde. I think I've got the tolerance for maybe a couple more. Who's up next?
Greg in Chino Hills. Hi, Greg.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's hear your joke.
What happens when you turn a blonde upside down?
Ooh, I'm intrigued. What?
What?
You get a brunette with bad breath.
Boom. Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blonde. That's real good. That's real good. All right, one more.
Why aren't you laughing at that one, Ellie?
Ralph told us that one last week, so I laughed then.
Hey, Jacob in Dallas.
That one was pretty good.
Right?
Jacob's still laughing.
Jacob's
at Greg's joke.
Laughing at the last guy. All right, what do you got for us?
Let's go for it. Here we go. How do you kill a blonde?
Oh, how do you kill a blonde? Mean. This is good information to know. Go ahead.
Put a scratch and sniff at the bottom of a pool. Shazam!
Oh, I mean, he Shazammed it.
He went a different way from boom.
Yeah, that was also very strong.
Wow. Shazam!
All right.
Oh, man.
Do we have ourselves a winner, or is everybody in the drawing? What do you guys think?
See, here's the thing. Aaron was the first to do the boom,
right.
And I felt that
boom.
That took guts.
Mm-hmm.
Greg's joke was the best.
I think
we can
Greg's
all
joke
agree
was
with
the
that.
Best too. I like
but
Greg's
Jacob
joke.
Just Shazammed us.
I know. That's right? What I'm saying is, what do we do now?
But now, if we don't agree on one, we have to do a drawing.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And in that case, Mark or whoever that guy, who told the horrible joke?
That was Mark.
Mark will be in it. So
and
Mark
don't forget Leonard with his dumb name. Don't forget him.
No, that was me, of course.
So can we agree on one?
I like Greg. I thought that was the funniest joke.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I'm fine to give the tickets to Greg.
Allie?
I agree.
All right. How about that? We actually have a winner.
Hey, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Burr, Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, and you at April Foolishness on the 1st at the Shrine. Congratulations, my friend. Thank you for playing the blonde leading the blonde. Blonde, 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 blonde.
Way down we go.
Hey!
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you, Kevin.
Perfect. Right? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, L-A-N-O-C's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 20 minutes after 7.
So, Kevin, you just have people that fill out your bracket for you? Is that how a high roller does it?
Well, I was on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I did a lot of studying. For reals. Like, I got, because I had time, because I was on vacation. So I got a giant printout, and I was looking at all the teams, and I was looking at the... And then I didn't, you know, of course, I didn't realize that they were due last week while I was on vacation.
Uh-huh.
So
all of
that went to waste. And Christine, our assistant producer, who's very, very, very nice, filled out half of my bracket.
Okay.
And then Stryker filled out the other half of my bracket.
Oh, that's
okay.
Nice.
All right. So that it would get in on time.
And both of them love basketball.
Right.
So you're good.
Yeah.
So I thought I was good, and it was very kind of them.
Okay.
And I, this morning, have been celebrating that I'm in second place. I'm in second place. I'm in second place.
Right. Feeling
wow.
Good.
Rubbing it in. Second place. Rubbing it in. Turns out it was Kevin is also the name of our boss, and that was him. So no. Well, I'm not
you're
second
not.
As much as tied for eighth.
Okay.
All right. So you're not likely to win the bracket here at work. Let's find out how our friend Matt Money Smith is doing. I don't know anybody who knows more about college basketball than Matt Money Smith, the co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570. And he joins us on K-Rock right now to preview the Sweet 16 for us. Money, how are you?
Well, I would say you don't know too many people then.
I feel like this is an area in which you excel. Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, I call the Big Ten tournament every year. So I certainly have to pay attention to college basketball. I know the Big Ten and the Pac-12 better than anything, and any other conferences, I should say. And those two performed very well. The Big Ten has, you know, three in the Sweet 16. Pac-12 has three in the Sweet 16, while, you know, those jerks on the East Coast, Allie, in the ACC and the Big East, boy, did they play terrible. And isn't that too bad that all those chowder heads are going to have their brackets blown to hell?
I don't think anyone in Massachusetts had a team, right? So.
No, you didn't have no BC, but you know, all you Catholics out there, you all love Notre Dame, don't you?
Heck no! Are you kidding? We hate Notre Dame.
Nah, that's not what I heard.
Oh my God.
Hey, Matt, that's not what he heard, so we got to go with that. He's our guest.
I wanted to ask you a couple of things. First of all, and I apologize if this is the dumbest, oldest question in all of sports radio, but why do people hate Duke so much?
You know, I would imagine it's the Christian Laettner effect. I think that probably trumps everything.
Really?
And I think it's a
mystery. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
You don't think it? You don't think it's just that they win all the time and give somebody else a chance? No,
I don't. I think that he was the fit. And it's funny because, you know, he wasn't a rich, entitled white kid. You know, he came from a family. His dad, I think, was a principal. His mother was an elementary school teacher. So it's not like he was some trust fund kid, but for whatever reason, Duke kind of embodied that.
Huh. Is that the school that started that jumping up and down thing?
I mean, did the Cameron Crazy certainly have that reputation? I mean, Wisconsin, I think, would get offended if you did the jump up and down when, you know, that's kind of what happens at Camp Randall. Everybody's got their thing,
right.
You know. But I think when you imagine a student body, it's a very good school. You think those kids tend to be our bosses in the future, but I think there's something there. You know,
there was just so much joy and delight on the internet when they got eliminated from the tournament. I just thought, why do people still hate them? Is some of it also that's a little... The lacrosse sex scandal school, too? Is that part of it?
Well, I mean, that'd be a shame since, you know, Mike Nifong's in jail for, you know, falsely prosecuting that. And those kids were all exonerated and their lives were ruined.
Right.
I think this year it's that Trippy Doolittle guy. Everyone hated him.
Yeah, I mean, Grayson Allen?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
him.
But that's, that. You know, that would suggest it was isolated to this year. You know,
yeah, it's always.
You know, and plus, remember, there was the UNLV Duke showdown in the early 90s, you know, and that was kind of the, you know, tough background coming up through basketball, easy to pull for, you know, UNLV team with Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon and all those guys versus, again, kind of that face of,
gotcha.
Oh, here's Grant Hill, his dad was a football player, Christian Laettner, you know. I think that I do think that still kind of sticks around a little
bit. Okay,
fair enough. We'll get to the Sweet 16 in just a second, but the biggest upsets so far.
Well, obviously,
Villanova.
The number ones. You know, Villanova getting knocked off by Wisconsin. But, you know, Wisconsin is, we've seen them in the championship game. We've seen them in the Final Four. It's just one of those teams that tends to be senior-laden and play, you know, grinds out every possession, makes the big basket at the buzzer time and time again, and just destroys your confidence as a basketball team. And
so you were surprised they were an 8 anyway, right?
I was. I thought they were the best team in the Big Ten. So that they came out with an 8 seed was a little nuts. And Michigan is on this wild run, you know, and it started when I was in D.C. and their plane, you know, nearly crashed. They aborted takeoff. It skidded off the runway into a ditch.
Wow.
They had to fly into the Big Ten tournament the morning of their game because there was an investigation. Their uniforms were locked in the plane. They had to play in their practice uniforms.
That's right.
And here they are, you know, in the Sweet 16. And they were a bubble team when that Big Ten tournament started before they won it. So there's always one of those stories as well. And that's, you know, that's kind of what makes the tournament so special is you've kind of got Lonzo Ball and UCLA, I think, is one of, if not the biggest storyline and kind of this Cinderella run now that Michigan is on is probably the other dominant one.
Hey, I haven't been watching a lot of the Bruins games. What's Dad up to? Has he been on the camera all the time?
You know, Dad, I was told that Dad, that our friend Fred Rogan set up a shot with Dad for the Channel 4 News.
Yeah.
And as the camera started rolling, he decided to tell him that if there were a diving competition, he believes he could beat Greg Louganis.
Okay, he's trolling everyone at this point.
That is when everybody realized, all right, LeVar.
Is this turning into a Joaquin Phoenix movie or something?
It's
What's happening here?
He's got us. That bastard got us.
So, Matt, what do his kids think about the things that are coming out of Daddy's mouth? Because they have to be taking heat from the other players on the team about it, right?
You know, I think, Lonzo's so quiet. He's such a soft-spoken kid that you really don't get anything from him.
Mm.
You know, he's deflect all praise, share the attention of success, and, you know, it's impossible to really kind of dig when you're interviewing him. If you saw that game yesterday against Cincinnati, the post-game, you know, interview with him was really boring, and I felt bad for the person that was doing the interview because he gave him nothing, and the answers were like a sentence long. So I think that's probably his way of compartmentalizing it.
Gotcha.
I think it probably affected the other two. You know, Chino Hills had lost to Oak Hill in a heck of a game earlier this year. The two kids that are in high school, LiAngelo and LaMelo, Mater Dei beat them. I think those two guys shot like 15%, and then Bishop Montgomery beat them, and they had a terrible game. So I wonder if it's affecting the younger ones more than it is Lonzo, because look, Lonzo's probably the best player in college basketball right now. So
wow. I feel for LaMelo.
It's pretty. You do feel for LaMelo, don't you? I think that helps. I mean, certainly the fact that his dad is singing his praises, and he is, if not the best, at least the most exciting must-watch player in college basketball.
Gotcha. We're talking to our friend Matt Money Smith here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the co-host of the P&M Show, Petros and Money, on AM 570, talking about the Sweet 16 tournament this weekend. This is a wonderful time of year where we can go on the radio over and over and over again and yell, "Go Cox," right?
You can. You can yell, "Go Cox," and you're totally fine yelling, "Go Cox."
Because you're talking about the South Carolina Gamecocks.
There you go.
You can do all of that. I mean, any iteration of Cox that you want to have come out of your mouth, Bean, you can.
As long as they're out. I got it. I'm team Bulldogs. I don't care whether it's Butler or Gonzaga. I just love Bulldogs, so those are my picks, Matt. Who do you like for the Sweet 16?
Bean is speaking about literal dogs.
Yes,
when
I am.
He says that. Not teams.
I respect it.
That's what wins a bracket.
I know. Right? I hate that. Right. I hate that so much.
A bracket. You know, it's funny because I have three daughters, and each of them have a bracket in their class, kind of thing. And my youngest, because the only place she's been, only college campus she's been to, is Butler. So she's the only one in her class that has Butler going, and it's like one of the few brackets that's not wrecked.
Wow.
From all of these kids. So that's what wins brackets.
You got to teach your kids to gamble early. I've always said that.
Look, I planted that seed when they were in kindergarten. You know, and they were playing Ricard Monty at recess.
So who do you love, Matt? Who are you excited about now as we head into the next weekend?
Oh, I think it's still UCLA. I mean, that bracket, you know, which is still chalk, which means all the favorites won, is 1, 2, 3, 4. So, you know, you've got number 4 Butler and North Carolina and number 3 UCLA and Kentucky, and UCLA went to Rupp, which is the legendary arena in Lexington there for the first time this year, and they beat up Kentucky pretty good. These two teams are totally different because Kentucky, like they always are, is full of freshmen who have kind of grown up over the course of the season, so that rematch will be fantastic. And I think you look at the other bracket that Michigan was the Cinderella. Oregon won the Pac-12. The Pac-12 got no respect. That's going to be a heck of a game. And, you know, I guess Wisconsin can kind of be a bit of a Cinderella with South Carolina in that bracket as well. You know what? It's funny because this is probably the year that Gonzaga has a really good chance to make it and get into that Final Four. And finally, for Mark Few, if you don't know who that is, he's been the coach there for a long time. And it's this tiny little school in Spokane, Washington, and the tiny little West Coast Conference. But they're not getting any attention because there's so many other storylines that are more compelling. And that may
and
be
they've
the
been,
case for them.
They have been the Cinderella team for 15 years now.
Yeah, exactly. It feels that
going
way.
Going
yeah.
into this tournament, they were arguably the number one overall. They were close to being the number one overall seed. So, yeah, it's kind of funny the way it all works out. Maybe that's what they need, you know, less attention. Just quietly make your way into the Final Four and see if you can win a tournament title.
Who do you have winning it all, Matt?
I have Kansas, so I'm still alive. But I did have Kansas against Duke in the final.
I have Kansas against Villanova.
What's that? You had Villanova.
Yeah, Kansas-Villanova. Kansas winning it all.
Hey, Money, one last question. Yes. Has any college team ever repeated as the champion?
Well, that's a good question.
Thank you.
That is a really good question, and I'm sure the answer, God, I would want to say is yes, but I'm thinking back to those dominant Duke, North Carolina never repeated. Duke, I don't believe, ever repeated, and they knocked off UNLV in that huge upset. Boy, that's good. I don't.
Well, why don't you do a little goddamn research before you pass yourself
seriously
off as an expert?
Yeah. Last time you're on, it's ridiculous.
Seriously, you're fired, Matt.
Yeah, I should have just answered confidently. No, right. Of course not.
You should have, yeah.
We all went about right. It. We don't know.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk to you again before the tournament is out, but a lot of sports fans say that this is their favorite 3 weeks of the year, and it does so far has not disappointed, right?
No, you can't beat it because it's one and out. You know, it's one and done. You know, you win, you move on. Duke had a bad game against South Carolina. They are out. Villanova, the defending champ, bad game against Wisconsin, gone. I mean, there is nothing better. When you think about, like, that Oregon game or the Michigan game, I mean, those games and the Wisconsin-Villanova game, they all came down to the wire. I mean, even USC, you know, against Baylor was down to the final 90 seconds before it got – and how did it get away from the Trojans? A goaltending. I mean, they're down to a guy shoots a wild, you know, ridiculous right-handed layup off the glass that probably wasn't even going to hit the rim, and, you know, this kid Metu for the Trojans decides he's going to try to block it. He's late. It's a goaltend, and that's why they lose the game.
Ouch.
You can't beat that type of drama in a 7-game series or something like that. You know, it's what makes it so great.
Well, next time we have you on before the tournament ends, we can get into Kevin's love of One Shining Moment, because that's one of my favorite things to talk about every year tournament time. Matt Money Smith, along with our friend Petros Papadakis this afternoon, once again on AM 570 LA Sports. Great to talk to you, Matt. We'll do it again soon, sir.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
You kind of threw Matt Money Smith for a loop when you asked him the question about teams that have repeated as national champion. We heard from a lot of Bruins fans reminding us that the Bruins had done it multiple times in their long history.
I wondered that back in the John Wooden days.
That's exactly what it was.
I wondered that, yeah.
And also, this bit of research is that University of Florida did it in 2006 and 2007. So
it really hasn't been
that long ago, but I think we all forgot. So anyway, we know.
But somebody said to me at one point, good question.
Or it was a good question.
Yeah.
It was a good question.
Because save that.
We didn't know off the top of our heads, but there you go. So thanks to everybody who weighed in on that. So it's not going to happen this year, though. That much we do know.
Something happened to me yesterday that has never, 2 days ago, that has never happened to me before.
Huh.
It was one of the weirdest things. I was driving. It's a beautiful day. So I rolled down my windows.
Okay.
And I've got my iPod on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And PYT comes on by Michael Jackson. Now.
Oh, you've got it on shuffle.
Shuffle, right.
Okay.
So, why are you laughing, Bean?
I'm just surprised that in 2017, you, the guy who hates all old music, still has Thriller on his phone.
I love old Michael Jackson.
All right. Fair enough. Very great. Look, it's great music. I'm just surprised to hear you listening to it.
So, the windows are down, and I got it cranked. It's pretty loud.
So, you are so gangsta at this point.
I want to love you.
All right, so that is on full blast.
Sure.
A woman in a Prius.
Uh-huh.
Had
enough said.
Had to be 85.
Okay.
Maybe 80, but
all right.
80 plus easy.
Okay.
Pulls up, she's in a Prius with her windows down.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So she can hear.
You need some loving.
So she looks at me
and says, let's dance.
Right? Starts dancing, grooving. Let's do this.
And you guys are in love.
And I nailed her. Yeah.
Oh!
No. So she looks at me and she gives me a thumbs down.
How dare she?
You've seen a thumbs down emoji a billion times.
Right.
When was the last time somebody in real life gave you a thumbs down?
I can honestly say I don't know that I've ever seen that in real life.
So,
okay,
now maybe
two questions.
Maybe it's me, maybe it's my face, maybe it's my car.
Okay, it could be all those things. I was wondering, is the music just too loud and she's pissed? Or is she just not a Michael Jackson fan?
Maybe she's a Prince fan.
We were sitting next to each other for maybe 6 or 7 seconds. It wasn't like minutes.
Yeah.
She reacted to it pretty much immediately to it.
I think it was too loud. I think it was too loud for Grandma. That's what I think.
But Grandma's in the car next to me.
Right, but I think it doesn't matter what music you were listening to. She was just irritated by the bass. I think that's what was going on.
Mm, Kevin's all about that bass.
I am all about the bass, yeah. So what did I do?
Turned it up.
And then I pointed at her. PYT.
No, you didn't.
No, but I wish I would have.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. We just did the grand prize drawing for Panic at the Disco at your house.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Right. And our winner is Garrick.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Mm-hmm. And our winner is, drumroll please.
Yay!
Drumroll please. Drumroll please.
Booby!
Drumroll. Need a drum. And our winner is Garrick Yu.
Booby!
From Lake Forest. Why are you playing
that?
Not
sure.
Asshole.
He wins a private performance by Panic at the Disco at his house with 20 friends.
That's ridiculous.
And I got to tell
amazing.
You, Brendan is the type of guy who is going to be great there.
He'll
blend in with you. He's a great guy to hang out with.
Like, might make lunch, too?
He might make lunch.
Oh, nice.
He might. I'm not going to promise that because I don't know. But
okay.
He does make a mean peanut butter and jelly, I've heard.
I love a prize like that because it's hard to put a dollar value on that because it's not available to buy. It's not a thing you could be the richest guy in the world. You couldn't get Panic at the Disco to come play at your house. You know what I mean? But this is something that they're doing, and it's just awesome. Awesome. So congratulations. Way to go. It's Garrick. Garrick, you?
Garrick.
Garrick.
Nice job.
Yeah.
All right, brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup next hour. Plus, we want to hook you up to join us this weekend in Las Vegas. We're having our first Kevin Amin singles party in a long time this coming Friday night, and we want you to be there. That will happen next hour as well. First, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Hey, let's take a quick look at the weekend box office, pulling in $170 million in North America alone and $350 million globally. Coming in first, Beauty and the Beast.
That's crazy. That's numbers.
An insane amount of money. Absolutely insane. Coming in second, Kong Skull Island, followed by Logan, Get Out, The Shack, the Lego Batman movie coming in sixth, The Belko Experiment, another debut for them, $4.1 million at number seven, followed by Hidden Figures, John Wick Chapter 2, and Before I Fall. We talked about it in the 5 o'clock hour. Some breaking news about Tom Brady's stolen jersey from the last Super Bowl.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That Super Bowl jersey has been tracked down to Mexico.
To Mexico?
What?
Huh. Who am I thinking of that might have just been in Mexico for a week? Huh, interesting.
That's what I'm saying, Kevin.
I'm not trying to put two and two together here, but interesting that it was in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy? Maybe Rudy, too.
So here's something that I had no idea happened. His Super Bowl 49 jersey, you might not remember that one, being it was against Seattle, and for
the
some
Seahawks
reason
won that one. I thought. I mean,
no,
I turned it off 30 minutes before the end of the game, but I assume they won.
They didn't run it. It
you
was
said
so
30
weird.
Minutes. You meant 30 seconds.
Yes, 30
yes.
seconds.
So much worse.
Yeah, so much worse.
So much worse.
Wait,
but
hold on. Tom Brady's had two jerseys stolen after Super Bowls.
Yes.
Well, that's on him.
That is.
That's what I'm saying. Like
right?
Tom, have better eyes on the situation.
Look, when I was six, I knew how to get home wearing the clothes I left the house in.
That's true.
That's a little different, but okay.
Officials believe it was taken by the same person and then moved overseas. But now the NFL is saying that the items were found in the possession of a credentialed member of the international media.
Oh. Sketchy. Why was this not reported the last time he had his jersey stolen?
That's
why
what
are we
I'm
just
wondering.
Now hearing
why did
about
we
it?
Not know
no
about this
heard?
At all?
Huh. And why did the guy steal it? Because he couldn't sell it, right?
Unless there's some, like, international underground jersey ring. What?
I mean, even if that exists, and of course, I didn't even understand it. Even if that exists, what kind of money can you get for that jersey?
I don't know.
That's weird.
None of it makes sense.
Huh.
I'm still thinking Putin. Who's with me? He's got their Super Bowl ring that,
that's
like,
right.
Kraft let him
yeah.
wear, and then he
that's
just
right.
kept it.
Yeah, true.
All sorts of weirdness
Kraft
going on.
Kraft stole it and gave it to him.
You know what?
That's what happened.
Not doubting stuff with Kraft lately. Some weird stuff happening. Hey, you guys, really a bummer over the weekend. On Saturday, Chuck Berry was found dead in his home. He was just 90 years old. And wouldn't you say, Bean, he was the father of rock and roll. There's a lot of people that, you know, there's other names that can be thrown about, but he's really the father of rock
and
roll.
No one did more to legitimize rock and roll
right.
than Chuck Berry did. He was a guy who wrote and perfected the art of writing a rock and roll record. He was a great guitar player, a great
absolutely.
Lyricist, a great showman. And, you know, you just have to look at the tributes that have been pouring in since mm-hmm. Mr. Berry passed away on Saturday. Everybody from Mick Jagger to Bruce Springsteen to Paul McCartney to Barack Obama
yeah.
to Bill Clinton to everybody is just like, wow.
Yeah,
legend.
He influenced everyone from the
everyone.
Beatles to the Beach Boys to the Rolling Stones. Here's some of what people have been saying. The estate of John Lennon said, if you had to give rock and roll another name, you might call it Chuck Berry. Ringo Starr said, rest in peace and peace and love, Chuck Berry, Mr. Rock and Roll Music. Bruce Springsteen said, Chuck Berry was rock's greatest practitioner, guitarist, and the greatest pure rock and roll writer who ever lived.
Wow.
I mean, that's high praise.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the best. And I'll tell you what's fascinating is he hadn't had a new album out in decades, mm-hmm. yet he just finished one, and
yeah.
it's due to be released in a few weeks.
It's due to be released in June. But, he had continued to perform a few nights a month at a club near his home, and he had his first studio album in more than 40 years, simply called Chuck, with the release in June, and now they don't really know if it's going to happen, but there's no way it can't, right?
Right. How old is he now?
90.
He's 90.
So he was still performing.
Still performing.
88, 89.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no big deal. Just a few nights a month at a nightclub near his home.
Huh.
Can you imagine?
No.
Like Grandpa Chuck's just going to head down to the club for a set. That's amazing.
It's hard to find someone who hasn't heard rock and roll music or Johnny B. Goode or, you know, any number of other legendary songs that he wrote. I mean, they just seem like they never went away.
Yeah. And did you know that his only number one was that novelty song, My Ding-a-ling, which is kind of his worst song.
Yeah, it's so right? dumb. So
I
dumb.
Didn't know that, no.
Do you remember the song My Ding-a-ling?
Sure.
I tried to sing that in a school talent show.
Mm-hmm. How did that go?
They wouldn't let me, and I didn't understand why.
We'll let you.
We insist.
We'll let you.
Maybe later. Oh. Hey, if your name is Selena Gomez and you want to be an actress or a singer, you are out of luck because the famous singer-actress Selena Gomez has just filed documents to prevent anyone with her name to be on TV, in a movie, or release any music as Selena Gomez.
Isn't that what everyone does?
I would think so.
All
yeah,
celebrities?
I think it's part of a union thing with SAG. You can't have the same name, so you'd have to be like Selena J. Gomez.
Right.
So I don't know if hers is kind of more involved than that. I will look into it for next segment. No, I won't.
You're not
Who cares?
Look into that.
All of these stars born today, March the 20th. Director Spike Lee is 60. Actress Holly Hunter, 59. Wrestler Sting is 58. Remember when we thought he was coming to the Red Bull Sound Space and not actually Sting?
Yeah.
And we were going to prank people.
Yep.
But only we laughed at that.
Yeah, it was not funny. That's why.
Chester Bennington from Linkin Park is 41. And actress Ruby Rose is 31. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
You can join us Friday night in Las Vegas for Kevin Bean's singles party. Got tickets for you later this hour. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll hook you up with tickets to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl. And you qualify for a European summer vacation with the band. You get to pick the destination. Italy, Britain, France, Germany, Sweden, Belgium, Ireland. You pick the country where you want to see Coldplay if you win the grand prize drawing. That's amazing as well. That's all coming up this morning on K-Rock.
Did you know that Manny Ramirez is back in baseball?
Isn't he 70?
Manny Ramirez is back in baseball, Bean.
He's 44, Bean.
44. Okay.
But same thing in baseball.
He's playing he's in an independent league, and he's playing for the Cochi Island Fighting Dogs.
Oh, I don't like the name of that team. Don't make dogs fight.
It's in Japan.
That's awful.
He's playing baseball in Japan.
Right, but it's still a terrible name.
All right, take it easy. That's not the point of this whole thing. We're trying to do a bit here, Bean.
I'm just saying.
Why don't you play along, for God's sake?
Dog fighting is sad,
right,
though.
Right, but we're trying to just have a little fun.
All right, Manny Ramirez is 44 years old. He's playing baseball in Japan. Go on.
Hey, Manny. He's on the phone as well, Bean.
Oh, we got Manny on the phone.
Right. Because we want to talk. Do you know anything about this show, Bean? For God's sakes, man.
Hey, Manny Ramirez.
I'm all right, Manny Ramirez. Happy to fighting dogs.
Oh, nice. Well, listen. Yes, you do have a horn. So, Manny, again, you're 44 years old. How good are you at playing baseball at this point?
I'm the best. Everybody scored the same. Man Ramirez, he home run. I said, okay. And the baseball bat in my hand. And Man Ramirez, he home run. Ball go far away. All right. I have a horn.
Now, Manny, is it true that according to this contract, not only is practice optional for you, but you also get unlimited sushi?
And I get to watch ladies poop.
I'm sorry?
Oh, what? No, Manny.
That was,
no.
I love Japan. That's right.
That was not in the article.
And there's a big stall, and ladies go down there, they go underwear, and I'm like, hey, look at lady poo-poo.
Okay. Well, I don't think we need any more details.
I have a horn. Ali.
Yeah, Manny.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Pap smear.
Pap smear who?
Not me. I'm a man. You're a lady. You stupid.
Manny, I feel like that was a setup.
Hey, Black Lives Matter.
What? Okay, listen, Manny, what about what Allie asked about the free sushi? Like, how much do you love sushi that you have it in your contract that you get as much as you want for free?
I eat so much sushi. It's delicious. Every time I go, I get sushi. It's the yellow fish, orange fish, mm-hmm. It's red fish, and lots of rice. It's great. I'm a lesbian.
Okay, I don't know what that has to do with anything. You also get the use of a Mercedes while you're there in Japan, and you have your own personal driver throughout the season, so fancy car, and you don't even have to drive it.
Sometimes I do, though, and I crash into people, and they say, hey, Manny Ramirez, you just killed someone. And I say, it's okay, I'm Manny Ramirez. And they say, you have a horn? I say, I have a horn. I'm on my horn. Everybody go home happy. Hooray, I have a balloon.
Wait. Everyone goes home happy after you kill somebody?
Except for the dead guy.
Manny, I feel like you're almost, and I don't know what you have to offer the Coachy Island Fighting Dogs, but I feel like you're kind of taking advantage of them with this contract with all this free stuff.
Definitely.
We are giving away passes to the Kevin and Bean's March of Bow Wow Vegas Singles Party. Yeah. We're going to be at the Alto Bar at Caesar's Palace this Friday night. Two-night hotel stay at the Link Hotel and round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Party Bus. And we're actually going to – we need a lady's perspective here. Can't use Allie. God bless her because she hates everyone. So we need a lady who actually is single and looking and will listen to a dude and decide whether she likes him or not.
Yeah, she needs to be the judge for all of the guys that we talk to.
Bingo. That's what we're looking for. So if you are 21 and up and you want to join us in Las Vegas this weekend for the Kevin Bean Singles Party and you are a lady and you're willing to be the judge, we are going to press you into service. You can give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Good batch of videos at KRock.com or KevinBean.com. Our friend Dave, the King of Mexico, producer of the Kevin Bean Show, puts them together for you every week. All the best viral videos in one place. And I want to start by asking you guys your opinion on the guy who films himself shooting his wife every single day when she least expects it with a Nerf gun. I feel like you would love that video, Kevin.
I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And after three times, I was like, all right, I've seen it.
Yeah. He's a Dateline special waiting to happen.
I thought it was funny until, because I thought the punchline was going to be like she enjoyed it at the end. Mm-hmm. She didn't enjoy it at all. So I didn't like it.
Although
at the
I
end.
Did like the part. I did like the part. It was a Nerf gun, I'm reminding everybody.
Yes,
I did
yes
like
it Nerf. Is.
I did
it didn't
like,
hurt her.
I did like the point where he shot the cat. That made me happy.
See, that was funny. Yeah. Yeah, but I was hoping there would be a funny payoff of her getting him back or her finding it funny, and there wasn't. And I was like, come on.
Yeah, but we always talk about how if something's bad or annoying, if you do it enough times, it comes back around to being funny. And I guess we all kind of expected, like, the 10th time she gets hit with a Nerf gun, she would now laugh because she couldn't believe it was still going on.
Right.
But she was just mad.
But it did give me a great idea for the next Kevin Annoys You. So thanks for that.
That is a good idea.
Sweet.
Let's take a look at some of the audio we have from this week's videos. I love this one so much. This is a dog agility show. And those little dogs are amazing with the ladders they climb and the tubes they run through and the swings they get into. I mean, it's really fascinating to watch. But this Jack Russell is having none of it. He is just out there on his own, just running around, just creating havoc. And the thing that makes this video great is the announcer. You know, you'd think the announcer at a dog show would be kind of stuffy. This announcer realizes the dog doesn't care about the competition. He's just having the time of his life, and it sounds like the announcer is too.
He's all over the place, and so he should be. Ollie and Karen here. Ollie was rehomed from Kimpton Blue Cross when he was around 10 weeks old. A wrong way through. Oh, well, doesn't really matter, does it? When he got to his home, they changed his name to Lockie, then changed it to Ollie. So he's probably a bit confused. Some people think he should have stayed as lucky as he's an absolute handful. Ollie is totally crazy. As you can see, he's having a ball. Look at this. Oh, what a nosedive. And he couldn't care less.
This dog
go,
just... is this guy crazy?
No, Ollie's literally catching
the
air.
I saw the dog and I loved it.
Yeah.
But it sounded to me like the announcer was maybe drunk or crazy.
I think it's just the first time he was allowed to have fun.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Like,
during the whole broadcast. Yeah.
It was awesome. Up next, it's been a while since we had Sassy Trump. Now, for folks who don't know what this is a series of videos where they take actual speeches given by our president. This was one of his rallies in Michigan recently. And by the way, someone help me out. Why is he still having campaign rallies? He did win, right? He is president?
I'm not sure.
He's still having the rallies.
Sure.
So he's in Michigan. So they take his actual speeches and they sassify it up. And I think you'll see what I mean right here.
Thank you very much. It is truly great to be back here in Michigan, right? And it's also wonderful to be here with the leaders, workers, engineers, and suppliers of Ford and Fiat Chrysler and General Motors and many others. We have so many leaders we just met. All of the leaders of the major car companies in the automobile business. It's a great business. It's a wonderful business. But it's been
pretty much hurt here.
But it's not going to be hurt for long, that I can tell you.
Yeah.
That I can tell you.
I love that so much because they're using his actual words.
His actual words. And he just doesn't sound like a 70-year-old white guy now. It's very funny. And finally, Honest Trailers is back. You know what fans we are of their work. They do such good work. And especially on the heels of this live-action Beauty and the Beast just making all the money in the world, they thought, hey, this would be a good time to revisit the animated movie from 25 years ago that people love so much. Was that a good movie or was it not? Let's see what Honest Trailer says.
Watch romance bloom between her and Prince... him. They never do say his name, do they? In this fairy tale that teaches every kid it's what's on the inside that counts. But it doesn't hurt to be so rich you own a castle with its own library and some magic slaves. Cheer as this strong, smart, independent woman rejects this violent, controlling, bad-mannered, hairy dude who imprisons her dad. For this violent, controlling, bad-mannered, hairy dude who imprisons her dad. Wait, why does he lock up her dad? The dude clearly wants to be left alone.
I'll give you a place to stay.
Couldn't he just, you know, let him leave and get eaten by wolves or something? That seems a lot easier than feeding an old man for decades. But Belle isn't alone. She's trapped with dozens of living objects that raise dozens of uncomfortable questions like, did everything that moves used to be a person? Like, are all those plates people? And what happened to all the actual stuff? Did it merge with the servants? Will they go to trial for murdering all those villagers? That bureau straight up crushes that guy. If the Beast earned the curse, why did all his servants get deformed too? Man, this movie is messed up.
Isn't Honest Trailers incredible that they make every movie sound messed up, though?
Yeah, you can love it and still agree with everything he says.
Yeah, very funny. You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com right now. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All right. We are looking for a girl to be a judge. 1-800-520.
We got that. We got a girl. We're looking for guys now.
No. We don't have
Aaron?
No.
I could do it, you guys. That'd be great.
Let's have Allie do it.
Okay.
Allie's going to do it. All right. 1-800-520-1067. It is a trip to Las Vegas, and now we're looking for guys because Allie is going to be the judge. So if you're a guy that wants to go to a Kevin and Bean singles party, you have to be single, you have to be 21 or over, you call 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll do it next.
Kevin, I feel like it's been weeks since you've even been to Las Vegas. You got to be.
It has been weeks.
You got to just be champing at the bid for this weekend, right?
I am very excited, yes.
Talking about the singles party, Kevin and Bean's March Kabow Wow Vegas singles party is happening this weekend in Las Vegas. 21 and up right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a guy, we are looking for you. By the way, the party brought to us by Chips, the buddy cop comedy starring Dax Shepard and Michael Pena in theaters everywhere this Friday. We looked at it this way. We've got Chip and we've got Allie, who are both lovely, wonderful, charming single women, but do not have the same taste in men.
Mm-mm.
Nope. So I feel like this is going to work out really well because you don't necessarily have to appeal to Allie. For instance, Allie, what do you know you're looking for or not looking for?
Someone that does not hike or take cruises and will not murder me.
All right, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
And Chip, I am cool with all three.
Chip likes all three of those things, right. But Chip, for instance, would be, you know, her little ears would perk up if she heard that there was a punk rock fan on the line, for instance.
Sure,
because that would be something she's really into.
No Patriots fans?
No Patriots fans. Is just, that's just good advice for anyone.
She hates winners, is
no
what
Kings
she's saying.
Fans.
How
again,
hate
fans.
Oh, no Kings fans, Chip said.
How dare you?
And Allie says only Kings fans, so this is
correct.
So the good news is you only have to appeal to one of the ladies. If they say yay, you are in the party and you join us this Friday in Las Vegas. Who's our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Arnold from Norwalk. Hi, Arnold.
Hi, good morning, guys. Good
morning, Allie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We forgot that you have 30 seconds to sell yourself, and then they will be able to judge, okay?
And that's almost too long for some people, isn't it? We may not even give you the whole 30 seconds.
All right, here we go.
And let me give one more piece of advice here, because we've been doing these singles parties for a long time. Never say these words, I like to party or I like to have fun. We're just going to assume that you're human, okay? And that you like to party, you like to have fun. So don't burn any of your time with that, all right? You ready, Arnold?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
So I am human. That means I work hard, you know? I got to make a living. I committed myself to school and my family. But that being said, I feel like it's perfect time to cut loose, and I would love to do that with a singles party in Las Vegas.
All right.
And this family is your wife and a bunch of kids?
No. I have little nephews at home who I help out a lot with. But other than that, I just spend a lot of time at school and just working for UPS.
All right.
So looks good and brown.
Allie's down with the browns, right?
Looks good and brown.
Delivers
packages. You know what I'm saying, ladies? Good with kids. I'm in on Arnold.
Yeah, I'm in.
All right.
Wow. Look at that.
You're in, Arnold.
And yes, Arnold.
Right,
well done,
you.
Sir.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
All
See
right.
you Friday night. We do ask, if you can, to please bring someone of the same sex to the party. We're trying to keep the numbers about even.
And wear your uniform.
All right. Let's go to Aaron in Los Angeles. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there. Are you ready to sell yourself?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. You got 30 seconds. Go.
I'm tall, dark, handsome, love puppy dogs. I cuddle after sex. I cook. I clean. Never been arrested. And to have no problem meeting your mom. I hate Ugg boots.
I'm in.
All right, you're already in.
Chips in with the hate Ugg boots. I was out when you said cuddle after sex. I was like, ew.
Yeah, gross. I just want you to go home
just
when you're done.
Just leave, Aaron.
Wow, I've never seen such an instant reaction from Tim.
Wow. And by the way, doesn't Tom Brady wear the Ugg boots?
Of course.
Well, Jack sells them. He makes bazillions of dollars, which you would too.
You're in, Aaron.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Congratulations. All right.
Loves puppies, by the way. That's strong.
All right. Let's go to Hector in El Monte. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good. Are you ready to sell yourself in 30 seconds?
I think so.
Go.
I am a down-to-earth, modest, serious, funny guy. I'll buy the first round. I'm not gorgeous, but I think I'm attractive. I think that's it. Positive, grateful, mature. I work hard. I work at Disneyland. I can get you in.
All right. I mean,
I'm not seeing any kind of great reaction from the ladies.
I worked there 7 years. I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh, Chip.
But what about everything else he said?
He said, here's the thing. He said something that I don't think a lot of people would say when pitching themselves.
Okay.
He's grateful. And I think that's delightful.
Wow. So that's a yes from Alex?
That is a yes from me.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
Chip as
yeah.
well. All right.
Thanks,
you know, it's
guys.
Funny. Hector, you're in. Congratulations.
This shows you how tough it is to be a single person looking, because he named some outstanding qualities that anyone would be lucky to have in a partner, but they don't sizzle. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're not flashy.
Right.
And that's why I appreciate Alex.
Plus, none of it's true.
Well, that's also possible. That's also very possible, Kevin. All right. I think we got time maybe for one or two more.
All right. Let's go to Andy and Downey. Hi, Andy.
Hey, man. Hey, Kevin and Bean. Allie, how are you?
Good.
All right.
I'm here, too.
Hi,
All
Chip.
Right, Chip.
I mean, Chip is one of the judges, for God's sake.
Andy, man, she's already out.
I'm already doing that.
All right, you got 30 seconds. Go.
All right, so strong worth ethic, go to school, love tattoos. I'm a huge foodie guy. Definitely go Kings Go.
In.
It's done. Allie's
in.
Yep, Kings fan, you won right there. Congratulations.
Now, did he say he was a big booby fan?
Foodie.
Oh, foodie.
He said foodie.
Wait,
hold
on. I'm sure boobies, too.
Andy, do you take pictures of your food? Because that's a big deal.
It is. I do.
You do take pictures of your food?
Every so and so.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. I mean, right, it doesn't matter because Chip is already out and
exactly.
Al is already in. So,
all
congratulations,
right,
Andy.
Let's do one more. We're loading up the bus for this weekend's Kevin and Bean Marching Bow Wow Vegas Singles Party. Who's our final contestant?
All right. Let's go to Steve, who is calling us from Rosemead. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Good. You got 30 seconds to sell yourself. Go.
Go. My name's Steve. I'm a chubby bald guy. Very, very clean. Always shower, smell real good. The biggest 49er fan in the world. Go Kings, go.
Okay.
I'm a Laker hater. I'm a big Clipper fan.
Oh.
Never been in trouble. Not a fighter. A lover.
I mean,
he's chubby,
really.
Bald, and he's a lover. What
but
else
here's
do you
the
want?
Thing. He smells good because he showers all the time.
I mean,
like that?
I dig
That's
it.
That's fine.
Yeah, you're
because
in.
He smells good.
Yeah, yeah, you got to smell good.
No smells allowed, dude. Yeah.
Well, all right. So Steve is in as well. Get all the details. Thank you for calling, sir. Get all the details, and you can also, am I wrong about this, Chip? Can't you apply online, too? Aren't we giving away some tickets to the audience online at KROQ.com as well, I think, too, right?
Sure. Why not?
Sure.
Get all the details on the party, and we'll see you there this weekend.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ, LANOC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51.
Coming up, right after the Showbiz Beat, we'll hook you up with tickets to go see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl on October the 6th. In fact, every hour on the hour, all day long today until 5 p.m. on K-Rock, we're giving you Coldplay tickets and qualifying you for a European summer vacation with the band. Stand by for your chance to win. First, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, it is Monday, so let's start off with the weekend box office. It was expected to make $130 to $150 million, which is a huge number anyway.
Yeah, that's a crazy expectation.
Yeah, insane. And what if they didn't make it? What a bummer. Well, don't worry. Beauty and the Beast made 100 $370 million in North America.
This was a success.
It was a huge success. $350 million globally. I mean, what?
That's crazy. Disney's just printing money.
Insane. And by the way, that is the top domestic opening of all time for a PG-rated film and the number 7 launch of all time for any movie.
Wow.
That's
by the way, I heard Kevin was mentioning earlier how much people love Emma Watson from the Harry Potter days. She has some sort of one of those profit deals on this movie.
Does she?
Rather than just getting a regular salary, she got a percentage.
So smart.
And she may make tens of millions of dollars off this film.
Oh, at least. Yeah.
And what about the guy that turns into a monkey bean?
What about
Dan Stevens? I'm not sure what his deal was. But I did hear he turns into a monkey. My knowledge on Beauty and the Beast is limited, but I'm pretty sure about that fact.
I don't believe that to be true. But speaking of monkeys, coming in second, Kong Skull Island came in at $28.9 million in its second week, followed by Logan, Get Out, The Shack, the Lego Batman movie. Coming in seventh, The Belko Experiment with $4.1 million, followed by Hidden Figures, John Wick Chapter 2, and rounding out the top 10, Before I Fall. Good news for Kevin. Good news for Ralph.
All right.
NBC has renewed the Jennifer Lopez Ray Liotta cop drama Shades of Blue for a third season.
All right.
Just two episodes into its second season. So they're feeling pretty good about that show.
Love it.
And that's the show, Bean, that you say is not believable because she in no way can be a cop.
Look, let me just interrupt. Bean hasn't seen an episode.
Mm-mm.
Not one.
Mm-mm.
So his opinion is worthless.
All right, here's what you don't know about me, though.
The other thing about me is, like, I give zero f**ks about anything, yet I have a strong opinion about everything, even topics I'm not informed on.
Good point.
Thank you, Hannah. You're totally right, and you're totally Bean. But really, two episodes into its second season, renewed for a third, people are watching it, Bean.
Well, because Jennifer Lopez is the most realistic police officer in the history of television.
I think that's what they're saying. Absolutely. Speaking of police officers, I've got some goot news.
Some goot news?
Goot news.
Steve Guttenberg?
Steve Guttenberg news.
What's he up to?
Well, he has signed up to be a reoccurring character on Ballers.
Oh.
What?
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
It should.
That just happened.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Ballers, it's basically Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's this agent in Miami. It's an amazing show. And adding goot, he's going to be playing a casino magnate and a real estate big shot.
Well, I mean, you've often said that goot makes everything better.
I've said it for years.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
I don't know why you'd do that, but I don't appreciate it. Hey, Coachella is suing Urban Outfitters.
Why?
Yeah. You know how sometimes you'll, like, Google Coachella tunic or something like that to see.
Come on, Kevin. You know how you Google Coachella tunic?
No, I don't. I don't know that. No.
Well, a lot of people are to see like what
if
kind
Kevin
of fashion.
Ever uses the word tunic.
Tunic. I have no idea except tunic.
We now live in a parallel universe.
No, for girls, it is a fashion.
Yes,
it's a fashion thing.
You're looking for your Coachella. You look for your outfit.
Your Coachella gear. So you'll put Coachella and then maybe a top, like something like that. Coachella blouse. And then
tunic is what I put in.
Okay,
right.
That's why I said, you know, when you put in tunic.
Uh-huh.
Well, they are suing for capitalizing on the event's image by using Coachella in product names and a search word. So with this lawsuit, Fashionista says Coachella is likely protecting its own branded licensing agreements that they have with H&M and Pandora, where they can both use the Coachella name. So you can't put in Coachella shorts. Because that would then belong to H&M.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think Urban Outfitters, who tends to, let's just say, borrow a lot of stuff.
They?
Yeah, they've been in the news quite a bit. And a lot of times they borrow from really small, like, Etsy shops, people that just do their own kind of thing to make a little bit of money.
Mm.
And then they borrow, some might say steal.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So that's a problem.
To bring your sunblock when you go to Coachella.
That's a good
coming
idea.
Coming up this Friday.
It's not this Friday.
Saturday and Sunday.
It's not
it's
this
a
weekend.
Big one this year, so bring lots of
it isn't this
sunblock.
Weekend. It's mid-April.
And I don't believe it's Coachella either.
Well, maybe they'll be at Coachella next year.
Okay. All right.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, I know I have been waiting for this, but it's finally here. Russian President Vladimir Putin has launched his own perfume for women who admire the Russian leader. The scent is on sale at Moscow department stores overlooking Red Square. But you have
this
to
is what everybody's been waiting for.
I hate you so much.
Does it smell like a guy with no shirt while riding a horse?
I hope so. Only 1,500 bottles have been produced, but the fragrance is called Russian Woman and costs $180.
Wow.
That's
like
a
donkey ass.
It might. Wow. $180.
And they don't have a choice. They have to buy it.
They have to.
That's crazy.
Or you will be murdered.
The Russians
allegedly
are running the USSA.
I'm sorry?
Added S in there?
Did he say the Russians are running the USSA?
He did.
So do you think he was trying to say USSR, but in a funny way, just add it for the USA?
Or have we been wrong our whole lives?
I think that might be it.
My guess would be it's probably a song that Rodney played with that title, would be my guess.
He just got it wrong, Bean. You know
that's possible as well.
Bean, how much do you wish you were Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendez's child?
None.
Are you sure?
Yeah, why?
Wait till I tell you this story. They took their daughters on a private tour at Miami's Jungle Island, where 2-year-old Esmeralda and 10-month-old Amada got to see sloths, lemurs, and a Vietnamese potbelly pig.
I mean, that does sound like a pretty fun visit.
And then
nothing
they
better than
left.
Going to see a sloth.
Very active.
Very exciting.
Woo! They left with a special gift. A work of art created by Peanut, a 13-year-old orangutan. Huh. I mean, right?
Made
good
out
to be
of
their kid.
I shouldn't. He paints with his poop.
It doesn't
I
say
shouldn't
that.
Bring, bring this really? Up, but this summer I'm going to a tapir painting party where the tapirs paint little paintings. They go out there and make art, and I'm getting one of those for the wall. So I'm real excited about that.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
I can't process that.
Do they paint with their little weird snout thing?
They do. Yes, they do.
I need a vacation.
Kevin, today is your first day back.
I know.
I'm going to wrap up this showbiz before we find out any more about you okay, Kevin?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All of these people celebrating their birthday today. Wrestler Sting is 58. Linkin Park's Chester Bennington is 41. LA Clippers' Jamal Crawford is 37. Director Spike Lee is 60. And actress Ruby Rose is 31. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
What do you think my 85-year-old... thumbs down woman would do to that song?
In the Prius, she would run into your car.
She wouldn't like it. She would not enjoy that at all. Congratulations to Anthony Kyoto from Pasadena. Thank you, Anthony, for listening to the Kevin Bean Show. You have just been rewarded with Coldplay tickets for their show October 6th at the Rose Bowl, and we'll do a grand prize drawing next Monday, along with everyone else who qualifies this week on K-Rock to go to the European summer vacation in the country of your choice with the band. So you can go, hey, I'd like to see them in Sweden, or hey, I want to see them in Ireland or Italy, wherever they're playing. That's the grand prize drawing. Your chance to qualify coming up in about an hour with Kat Corbett.
Let's talk April Foolishness. It's April 1st. You can buy tickets at AXS.com. I do want to mention that the proceeds go to Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. And I went to an event where Fisher House opened one of the houses that we helped fund.
Wow.
And by we, I mean the comedians that donated their time and all the people that bought the tickets. And it was I was full on crying.
Aww.
I mean, these are families that are being put up while their son or daughter is in the hospital. Some of them lost legs. Some of them made that ultimate sacrifice, and the families were there, and it was so touching.
Now, they do amazing work. Amazing. Fisher House. That's one of the reasons why we chose them as a charity to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years with these April Foolishness shows. So the beautiful thing about the show is you win because you get a great comedy lineup that is you can't find anywhere else. You'll never see this bill again, ever. And they win because they get a lot of money from your ticket prices. And by the way, tickets on sale now, AXS.com, start as low as $25. So there's really no excuse for not going.
It is a great night. And also, you can be the opening act.
Yeah.
We have an opening act contest. You have to be 18 or over. And you go to krock.com and you can send us some video of you doing your comedy. And we got some pretty good submissions.
Turns out there are a lot of people
on open mic nights and playing around the town trying to make it in comedy. And they're going, hey, I could open for Jimmy Pardo. I could be on the same stage as Bill Burr or Taylor Williamson. I want to open the Foolishness Show, and one of you will have the opportunity to do that.
And one of them that sent it in is Ron DeRox. I believe I'm saying his name right. And he's talking about sexy Latino names.
Ladies, if you're hanging out with your friends and you're like, hey, I met this guy last night. What's his name? Roberto. Ew, what? What was he, like, clean porta potties or something like that? Like, was at home with his parents? But if you're talking to your friends, you're like, hey, I met this guy last night. What's his name? Roberto Carlos Rocha. Dios mío, why? Is he a matador? What is he? Is he a flamingo dancer? Does he dance? Could I see a picture of him? Oh, he looks like a fat Ben Affleck. Look at that. I don't know. No, that's not very exotic.
That is a Ron DeRocha, by the way, not DeRox, as Kevin may have led you to believe, on stage at the Ice House. He is trying to be the opening act for our Foolishness Show.
Here is a comedian from the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. This is Mike Faverman, Bean?
Sure, why not?
Okay, and he's talking about being Jewish.
Any Jewish people here? No, they're home making money. All right. Told my mother I'm not going to marry a Jewish woman. She said she was beside herself. I told her that must have been annoying. Gave a homeless guy a bag of my old clothes the other day. He looks through them and goes, nah, I'm good. Dude, what a dick, huh? This guy's wearing a FedEx box.
Sorry, FedEx box cracked me up. Jen Murphy is next from the West Side Comedy Theater, and she's talking about dating.
I actually spent a good part of my day today, like, Googling personality disorders. Is that weird? I know. It's just because I recently got dumped, and I was just like, screw that. I'll find out what's wrong with him. Because it is not me. No, it's me. I like assholes. That's my problem. It's okay. I don't mind being single. I just hate dating. Like, there's so much eye contact involved. Why do I get creeped out by that? Like, I feel like you make an appointment just to sit across from somebody and just, like, stare at them. Like, this is fun. Plus, I get really offended because, like, nobody ever looks down. I'm like, B-cups need love, too. Right?
She is right that eye contact is pretty creepy, by the way.
Yeah.
We're listening to some of the entries for the Kevin DeBean April Foolish's opening act contest. Looking for you if you are funny, professional, or otherwise. I mean, even if you just think you're funny and you haven't been on stage, we still want to see your video. We really want to see your video.
Johnny Taylor is next, and he's also talking about dating.
It's just like, no, dude, it feels good to be on a date. And I was like, oh, it feels good for me, too. And then she says this. She says, well, I went through a rough stretch recently. And I'm like, oh, okay, explain. And then she says that. Well, I was drinking quite a bit, and one thing led to another, and I ended up doing crystal meth with my son. And I was like, that's gross. You have a kid?
See, Bean, because the crystal meth is the bad part, but not to him.
Right.
Next is Brandon Vestal, who is at the Comedy Club in Pechanga. This is drinking.
Getting pretty tired of tequila companies trying to convince everybody that tequila is smooth now. I heard that enough. I was like, sweet. They must have fixed it. So I tried some next time I was out. They haven't done anything to it. It's the same nasty water it's always been. I don't think they should legally be allowed to tell people that tequila is smooth. Tequila, in my opinion, is the least smooth drink that you can drink. That's why there's so many distractions when you drink tequila. You don't just take a drink of tequila like you do anything else on earth. You got to do all this other stuff. You got to lick this and suck that. What are you trying to hide, tequila?
I like it.
Not bad, right?
And yeah. Finally, we have Jason Webb. This is from a club in Asheville, North Carolina, and he's talking about romantic situations.
Have any of you in here ever found yourself in a romantic situation with someone you're not sexually attracted to? I found myself in that situation recently. I was watching a sunset with my dad. And he looks over at me, and he says, it's beautiful, isn't it? And now I've been around the block a time or two. So I can tell this old bastard's trying to.
Oh, my God, Jason.
I need to hear some more of that. The deadline is this Friday at 10 a.m. If you are a comedian and would like to open the show, we would like to hear from you. You can get the details at krock.com. 18 and up, please. And then we'll have the top 10 finalists that we can all vote on starting next Monday at krock.com.
106.7 KROQ is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 10.
How about one more look at the showbiz beat with Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman here on a Monday. What's going on?
You guys, this Tom Brady jersey situation is getting weirder.
Is it a situation?
And it's a big situation.
Okay.
So we all knew that his jersey that he wore in the last Super Bowl was stolen from the locker room. And it's a big deal because it costs a lot of money because that was going to be put in the Smithsonian. A lot of people don't know that, but it definitely was.
Because you're making that up.
I totally made that up.
Yeah.
But it was stolen, and people were like, what the heck? Who would take that? Is it an equipment guy? Did he sell it? Where are they going to actually, you know, sell it? Because it's, what did you say, Bean? It was a what item?
It was too hot to fence.
Too hot to fence,
yeah.
Which is true. And then it turns out that another one of his jerseys from the Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks was also stolen.
This is weird.
So we're finding that out.
Why can't Tom hang on to his own clothes?
It's true. But now, sources are saying that not only the two Patriots jerseys, but one Broncos helmet were also recovered in Mexico. And it's likely belonging to Von Miller.
What?
And apparently Von Miller's cleats also went MIA after the Super Bowl they won, Super Bowl 50.
So hold on a second.
What's
so
happening?
There's somebody going into the locker room mm-hmm. who has media credentials.
Yes,
who's there.
International press, apparently.
So you're back there to interview people in the locker rooms
yes.
of the winning team. And you walk out with memorabilia under your arm?
How do you walk out with a football with a helmet?
Yeah, how
that's
is
what
even
I'm
happen?
Saying.
How do you walk out with a jersey, even? How
I
does
don't
somebody
know.
Not see that?
They have to have an inside person. They have to be going in. I don't. It's so weird.
Wow, that is weird.
Yes.
And it's in Mexico they found them?
Yeah, they found this in Mexico.
Okay.
So I wonder if more stuff is going to show up. Right?
Like you lost keys a year ago. And you never found them.
Well, I mean,
boom.
I don't think it's our stuff.
I don't think it's like your sock.
It's probably from Super Bowl winners.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Or, I got you.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
That's insanity.
That is crazy.
I am going to stay tuned. I'll bring you more tomorrow if I can, you guys. It's
pretty
Could
big
Could
be a stuff. Mexican plane up there. They're getting ready to attack.
Maybe he's right about that wall.
Right?
No, he's not. Hey, weekend box office. Beauty and the Beast pulled in a pretty good number. $170 million in North America alone, $350 million globally.
Now, when you
this
say
it was a success,
when you say pretty good number,
that's insane.
Yes,
they were thinking 130 to about 150, which is insane, and they
right.
got 170, and that was also top domestic opening of all time for a PG rated film, the number 7 launch of all time for any movie, and the biggest debut of an all female. Fueled film. And that's 70% of ticket buyers were female on Friday. That's a big chunk.
I ran into my neighbors over the weekend, and the lady
you talk to them?
Lady who lives across the street from me is around, I don't know, she's probably early 30s or something. She was dressed up like the princess in Beauty and the Beast to
like
go
Belle?
To the movie. Yes, Belle.
No.
She was dressed up in a dress like hers to go to the movie. And she's like a 30-year-old woman.
Bean.
So there's there's some appeal to these Disney movies, man. They've got the formula that just makes little girls just fall in love with them, don't they, for life?
Bean, I'm concerned about your neighbor.
I was a little bit surprised to see a grown-ass woman dressing up to go to the movies, too. But
so
apparently it's a
wearing,
thing.
So she was wearing, like, the yellow gown?
Yes. Yes.
Bean.
To go to the movies.
That can't be comfy,
so,
right?
Did you open your door and go, ha, 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 ha?
No, I was just I was just surprised. That's all.
Should have,
but I mean, I guess I shouldn't be when I see this kind of box office. There are a lot of people out there who have very strong Beauty and the Beast feelings.
When did the original Disney movie come out?
Gosh, 30 years ago.
Yeah, so maybe it was all of these girls that grew up with that movie.
Yeah. Fall in love with
fall
monkeys.
In love with it. Fall in love with the giant monkey, as
the guy who
said,
the monkey, right? Yeah.
I don't know. That's just an insane amount. Hey, you guys, a very sad situation on Saturday. Chuck Berry, the father of rock and roll, passed away at the age of 90 at his home just north of St. Louis. And he influenced everyone from the Beatles to the Beach Boys, the Rolling Stones. He wrote all of his own songs. His guitar work was just insane. He had 14 top 40 hits, but didn't score a number one until the live 1972 novelty hit My Ding-a-Ling, which is insane.
Yeah, that is insane.
Because that's, you think Johnny B. Goode, you think all of his different songs, but not so much that one.
Hmm.
Here's the part that I loved. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, class of 1986, but he continued to perform a few nights a month at a nightclub near his home. Oh. 90 years old, you guys. That is incredible. And on his 90th birthday, Chuck announced that he was ready to release his first studio album in more than 40 years. And it's going to be called simply Chuck, with the release date in June. There's no word yet on whether that will happen, but it's got to. I mean, people will want to hear
it. Oh, I would think so, yeah.
It better be good if you wait 40 years to come out with an album, by the way. Better be really good.
Yeah, but he's 90.
How dare you?
Seriously.
My favorite thing, and there are a lot of people were telling their Chuck Berry stories over the weekend, and there was a great movie directed by Taylor Hackford called Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll that's all about the Chuck Berry 60th birthday party that they had at a theater in St. Louis, and all stars were performing. Keith Richards and Bruce Springsteen and all these people playing with Chuck Berry, and it's a great, great movie, and you really ought to check it out. But the stories that people tell about Chuck Berry touring the country by himself, didn't travel with a band, he requested a pickup band at every city that he played in.
Wow.
And he wouldn't talk to them, and he wouldn't rehearse, and he wouldn't even tell them what songs he was going to be playing in what order.
No way.
Yes. He made it very challenging for the people that backed him up.
He is a dick.
He kind of was.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
I think that's exactly what we're saying.
It can be inferred.
I think it is.
It is kind of. I mean, if you're on stage.
That's insane.
And he starts playing on the guitar, and you have to decide with it, you know, or guess with it a couple of beats whether he's playing, you know, Reelin' and Rockin' or Johnny B. Goode. And you have to improvise on the fly. He insisted on being paid up front in cash in full before he would take the stage as well. And again, he's just driving himself around the country. And he says, look, if you know how to play Chuck Berry songs, you got no business being a musician. So you just follow me.
So occasionally that had to be terrible.
It was terrible.
Oh,
I'm sure it was.
Occasionally there had to be a drummer or somebody that was just awful.
Bruce Springsteen tells a story about how Chuck Berry decided to sing one of his songs near the end of a show that they were backing down in a different key than it was supposed to be. And left the stage during the song while everybody else was on stage playing something that just sounded horrible. And Chuck was already in the car on his way away from the venue.
Wow.
I dig it.
It's just so weird.
Much. Well, speaking of Bruce Springsteen, he was one of many that had great things to say. He said Chuck Berry was rock's greatest practitioner, guitarist, and the greatest pure rock and roll writer who ever lived. The estate of John Lennon said, if you had to give rock and roll another name, you might call it Chuck Berry.
All right.
That's not bad.
No
right?
kidding.
Not bad at all. Hey, Bean, great news for you. We had the lovely and talented Sam Richardson in... Wow, a couple weeks ago, right?
Oh, I love him so much. He's one of the stars of Veep, and he has that new show on Comedy Central called Detroiters. It's so funny, you guys.
Well, good. Comedy Central has renewed Detroiters for a second season.
All right.
Excellent. You had a funny Detroiter story about what they call poop, right?
Apparently this was new to me, not new to a lot of people, but maybe it's popular in the Midwest. But instead of taking a poop, you call it taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. And I learned that on this week's edition of Detroiters, and I thought, that's very appropriate for so many reasons.
That's excellent.
It's awesome. Very accurate for the poop, also very accurate for the Browns.
Well, congratulations to Sam, and way to go, Comedy Central. So second season for Detroiters. And great news coming out of the Sesame Street camp. They're introducing a Muppet with autism next month. Her name is Julia, and she's been around Sesame Street's world, appearing online in a digital storybook tale. But she will appear alongside characters Elmo and Abby and will meet Big Bird. But she's going to be a little hesitant to shake Big Bird's hand, and that's how they're going to explain what autism is. They're going to explain why Julia is a bit hesitant to shake Big Bird's hand.
I like that.
Do, too. They've been working with autism organizations to figure out how the best way to portray Julia on screen will be. So that, again, is happening in April. So good stuff, Sesame Street. All of these stars born today, March the 20th. Holly Hunter is 59. Sting is 58. Chester Bennington is 41 from Linkin Park. L.A. Clippers' Jamal Crawford is 37. Director Spike Lee is 60. Actress Ruby Rose is 31. And a late entry to the birthdays, and I can't believe we haven't been saying...
How do we have a late entry?
A late entry. We haven't been saying it all morning.
Someone just born this morning?
They were not... No. We forgot this person, no. And it's a shame because he's our favorite in the UFC.
Daniel Cormier?
It is Daniel Cormier's birthday.
And we forgot all morning?
38 years old, so
wow!
Happy birthday, champ. We're sorry bad. About that. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon, 5 p.m., a commercial-free hour here on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have comedian Bob Saget in studio. We have the manager of the L.A. Dodgers, David Roberts. We have tickets for the Kevin and Bean singles party. And we also have your tickets for April Foolishness tomorrow morning on an all-new show.